Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Truly excited to have Scotty Gibbons with us. Scotty's not a stranger to LifePoint. He was here, man, about a year ago or there, or maybe a little bit more, but then he spoke then about heaven. And I was thinking about that message this morning, just how powerful of a truth and how powerful of a hope that is for you and I, and just thinking a little bit about heaven as I was walking the perimeter of our facility this morning, and just excited for that opportunity. But also excited for the opportunity that we have today to have Scotty with us. And Scotty is becoming, he's been a dear friend to Robin and I since Bible college. And we've continued that relationship throughout those years since, and are just grateful to have Scotty Gibbons with us this morning. And he's going to talk to us about Convoy of Hope, which is something that is known to us. We participate. Let me just share this quick story before I pass the mic. This week we assembled bags to that a bunch of stuff that we picked up at Convoy. We assembled bags to distribute Thursday morning, and so we did that Wednesday night. And I walked into one of the locations and was saying, "Hey, we got these bags for you." And the director was like, "Man, I want to say thank you. I was just having a conversation yesterday with my team, and they were discussing with me just kind of how they feel like they're a little bit on the outside and don't receive a whole lot of gratitude. And these bags are coming at the perfect time to speak into the life of my team and to give value to them and to hope to them." And so I'm so thankful that all happens because of Convoy of Hope and our partnership with them. So Scotty's going to come and share. Would you welcome Scotty Gibbons this morning?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, it's a real treat for me to be here with you and to get to share God's word with you today. Before we jump into the scripture, I want to take just a second to say how thankful I am for the friendship with Pastor Steve and Robin. And we do go way back. As a matter of fact, that's too far back. Like, we can't be that old, like, when I think about those days. But we did youth ministry together way back in the day. And there's just something special about those early days of ministry and the friendships that are formed, that when God gives you a gift like that and it becomes something that is lifelong, I just treasure it more and more as time goes on. So I'm super grateful for you. And I know that you're aware of this because you get to be a part of this ministry, but you're blessed at this church to have them as your spiritual leaders. They truly love God. They truly love you. And you're a part of something that is God-honoring and Christ-centered. And they courageously continue just to teach and share the word of God with you. And I don't know if you've noticed, but our world's gotten a little crazy. You hadn't noticed that. I've noticed that. Our world has gotten, like, a lot crazy, and it's only getting crazier. And I just respect the fact that you have made it a priority to plug into God's house because you need it now more than ever. And there are a lot of people who treat the things of God or church or faithfulness to God's house as optional, or as I will if I can, or when it's convenient, or something along those lines. And I would just suggest to you that in the last days, and I believe that we're living in the last days. Anybody believe that Jesus is coming soon? Come on, I believe that he is, and I'm ready. How many think it'd be great if it happened today? Let's just be honest. Like, that would be all right with me. Lord, you are invited to interrupt this service and take us all home. We'll just continue this on in heaven. That would be awesome. But in the meantime, while we're here, we're living a part of a world that's dark and broken and looking for hope. In this church, God's church, is more important than ever. So I just applaud you for making God's house a priority. And I celebrate with you the leaders that God has placed to lead this house. Would you just show honor right now to Pastor Steve and Robin? Come on, put your hands together and just let them know you appreciate them. Come on, you can do better than that. Let them know you love them and you appreciate them. Well, I'm pretty confident that last time I was here that I showed a picture of my family, and just because I'm so stinking proud of them, I'm going to show you another one, all right? So this is my crew right here. Look at that. Look at that, all of those girls. Would you just pray for me right now? Just stretch your hands toward me and just pray for me. Like, we could just spend the rest of this service, this intercessory prayer for me, just for me. But I'm blessed. I have my oldest daughter, Candace, who's actually here with me today on the front row. Come on, can you give it up for Candace? This is my oldest. And then Kelly Grace, Bria Allison, Angel, and then the champ, Jordan, right there. Bless his heart. He's just fighting for his right, just looking for a place at the dinner table to get a word in when he can. But then my best friend, my bride, Casey. I wish that all of them could be here with us this weekend, because I'd love for you to get to meet them, but I know that they'd love to get to know you as well. But I'm glad that Candace is here with me. So my oldest, she just turned 20. So last weekend was her birthday, not a teenager anymore. Man, that's messing me up. I'm just like, there's no way I'm that old. Like, there's no way this is even possible. But so proud of my baby girl. And she's currently pursuing a writing degree at Oxford University, and I could not be more proud of her and proud of that. And she loves Jesus, and she loves me. That's what makes me the happiest. She loves Jesus, and she throws me in there, too. She loves me as well, but I'm glad to have her with us. Well, if you have your Bibles or your app, you can open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And as we get ready to jump into this today, I'll tell you that I do have the privilege to get to travel and speak to a number of churches each year, and I love preaching God's Word. It's such an honor. It's such a treat. And yet one of my favorite things to get to preach on would be opportunities or projects where we get to support the mission or the work of God. I love missions. I believe in missions. And yet when you talk about Convoy of Hope, now you just took it to even a deeper level with me, as I love Convoy of Hope. The leadership of Convoy of Hope would be some, just several of them, just throughout the organization, just dear friends of mine. And I know them. I know of their character. I know of their integrity. I know of their heart for hurting people, their commitment to just not only meet physical needs, but to use that as an opportunity to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And so I've been speaking messages, raising money for me. It's not what I do. I'm a pastor. I'm a lead pastor of a church in Oklahoma City, travel and speak at different churches. But every now and then, I get to preach on something like this, like Steve invited me to be a part of. And I've been taking advantage of opportunities like that for years, because I see what happens when we invest in God's word work, and he takes that and he multiplies it, and it translates into someone coming to know Jesus Christ. I'm just curious, how many of you are glad that you found out that you could go to heaven instead of hell? Come on, raise your hand right now. Are you glad about that? I mean, I don't know what gets you excited, but that's one of the things for me, just the fact that, so tell your neighbor right now, just look at them and say, I'm so glad that you're going to heaven. Go ahead, just tell them that, I'm so glad that you're going to heaven. Tell the person on the other side of you, say, I sure hope you're going to heaven. I don't know, but I hope that you are. So I love talking about things like Convoy of Hope. And I'll just warn you here right at the very beginning that, yes, we will give you an opportunity at the end to invest in this work. But I'll also make another commitment to you that today, for me, this is not about an offering or about money. And I can promise you it's not going to be some high-pressured sales pitch. As a matter of fact, if you choose to not be a part of the miracle of what God is going to do through Convoy of Hope, that is totally your prerogative. I'm not going to beg you to step into the blessing of God, the favor of God, the miracle that God has. You can just say, not interested. Okay, and you can do that, and you can walk out just today without any concern. But in all seriousness, I want you to know that the heart behind this is to invite you to just pray and say, God, would you want me to be a part of something like this? And if so, God, what would you want me to do? And I've just discovered in my life that anytime I say yes to whatever God is asking for me to do, I've never, ever, ever regretted it. but I've always been extremely grateful that I did. As a matter of fact, the youth ministry that I just mentioned a minute ago that Steve, Rahm, and I were a part of and we got to serve in together, when I was serving in that ministry, it was around 2008 that I had just had back surgery. So I was away from the youth ministry for a little while because I was recovering from my, it was actually my fourth back surgery. Fourth, which you hear that and you think, do you just do that as a hobby? You do that for fun? What do you do? It's just like, no, I had ruptured a disc playing football, multiple surgeries and whatnot. So now I was at home recovering from this fourth surgery. During that downtime, I was just praying and seeking the Lord as I was preparing to jump back into just the busyness of ministry. And I was praying and I asked God, I just said, Lord, would you speak to my heart and show me just something you want me to chase, something that you would call me to do? Would you give me some God-sized dream, something that's from you and for me? And I felt like that God spoke to my heart there in that moment that he wanted me to raise $1 million for missions. And whenever that thought came to my mind, I knew one of two things had just happened. Either, number one, God had just given me the biggest dream that he had ever given me before, or, secondly, the second option was, I was on way too much hydrocodone. I wasn't real sure what it was. I was like, man, that is a crazy thought. I don't know if that's God or not. And I thought, how in the world would I ever raise $1 million? There's no way that I could do that. And as I thought about it, and as I prayed and processed, I felt like the Lord was giving me a step, like these steps that would lead to ultimately raising $1 million for missions. It's like the way that we'd ultimately raise $1 million for missions is that I would go back to our youth ministry of junior high and high school students, and I would challenge them to give to missions, and that then our youth ministry would raise $200,000. But because of their faith and their dedication to the Lord, that would be contagious, and other students would hear about it, and they would jump in on the action, and ultimately we would get to $1 million. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. If I could get our teenagers to give $200,000, that would make sense. So then that was my next part I was a little bit confused about. How is one youth ministry going to give $200,000 in 1 year to missions? As I prayed and as I processed, I felt like the Lord backed up the process a little bit and gave me the step that would precede those steps. And here's how the young people would be inspired to give $200,000 to missions, is that God wanted me, he wanted my family, he wanted us in 1 year's time to give $50,000 personally to missions. I was like, ah, that makes sense. I would give 50. The students are inspired. They give 200. Other students around the nation are inspired. That becomes 1 million. That now makes so much more sense. If I had $50,000. And so now I'm like, how in the world would I ever do it? And just fast forwarding a pretty amazing story. And I might tell you just another piece or two throughout this talk, but all I can tell you is that when we said yes to Jesus, is that we tried to give as much as we could, as quickly as we could. And in a way that I sincerely mean it when I say it, that I can't explain it. By the end of the year, we had personally given $50,000 to missions. Our students knew of our step of faith. They rallied. They all set goals to give themselves. And we gave $223,000 as one youth ministry to missions. And then ultimately, as other students and youth ministries heard about it, we didn't raise $1 million for missions, but we exceeded $2 million in giving to missions. And it's all because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Can we just thank God right now, because he is the God who not only gives dreams, But he goes, and my point in saying that would be, it's an opportunity. It wasn't like, as I look back at that, I'm bummed. I can't believe God had me do that. But instead, my perspective, I can't believe God allowed me to be a part of that. I look at it now and I see the miracle for what it became, and I realize that God never created a single one of us because he needed you. God was like, I just don't know. I'm trying to be God, but I'm just falling so short. So he created you to try and make up the difference. All right, I'm telling you, it's not how it worked. God did not need a single one of us, but he chose you. Like, you're not the one who signed up to be here, so here you are. You're here because God chose you. You were God's idea, so he created you. Now, as you walk with him, he just allows you to be a part of things that are so beyond you that where we miss it is when I get so caught up in me that I miss out on him. So when we're talking about this one day opportunity, this one day project, or this one day offering for Convoy of Hope, really what it is it's an invitation to say, God, what would you like for me to do? And then when God drops something in your heart, you step into it and you realize that you just positioned yourself to partner with God for the miraculous. As a family, last night we gathered and we were just having a time of prayer, and one of the things that I was praying about, and I had faith in my heart for it, is that God would do something through this morning that, as you look back, that there would be just no question about it. It was beyond natural. Kind of like the fish and the bread story. Kind of like the widow and the oil story. Just an opportunity. What if God allowed you? What if God allowed us this morning here at Life Point? What if he allowed this morning to be a moment to where our yes became something that was supernatural? I don't know if you have faith to believe for that or not, but if not, you can borrow some of mine, because I got enough for all of us today that God wants to do that. Can you say amen to that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You thought I forgot. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at it. Let's begin reading with verse 6. If you're ready, say amen. Come on, if you really mean it, say uh-huh. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's the law of the harvest, sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual principle. God is teaching us that whenever we sow seed, whenever we invest in God's work, whenever we give ourselves to kingdom purpose, what he's teaching us here, because this is a portion of Corinthians where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about an offering. Because the followers of Christ in Jerusalem were in need, and so he's writing to them to prepare to receive an offering for them. So similar to what we're doing here today. And Paul reminds them, he says, hey, I don't want you to forget that whoever sows sparingly, you know, you've been there before. I've been there before. The offering bucket is about to come by, and you're like, here it comes. Oh, okay. And you just feel that pressure, you know, just come all, man, I need to do something. I ought to do something. So if I had a dollar, if I had, okay, I'm going to go crazy and give $2, you know, whatever. It just felt good to, like, drop something in the bucket. Like, there's something, okay, I don't feel as guilty now. As if God is going, thank you, thank you. No, really, thank you. We had no idea how we're going to pay the sun bill, but because of your generosity, now we can have it glow just one more day because you've just invested. Because God never needs it. He just says, I want you to know that there is a law of the harvest, and it's this. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But when you sow generously, you reap generously. I like the way the old farmer said it. He said, you know, you can never outgive God. How many of you know that's true right there? Like, for real, you know, you can never outgive God. The old farmer said, no matter what I take and I try and shovel towards the things of God, he said, God just shovels it right back my way, but God has a bigger shovel than mine. Isn't that really true? That no matter what we do to try and make a difference in the kingdom of God, to be involved in the things of God, God just lavishes us right back with his goodness. It says in verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And that's what I would encourage you today. It's like, don't be all nervous and timid and hesitant or reluctant. Like, oh, this is a near-death experience. Oh, this is just tearing me up on the inside. But I'm going to do it so I don't feel bad, so I don't feel guilty. Ah, God's saying that's not what it's about. Nor under compulsion, not feeling pressured and not just feeling like the moment got to me. So I had to do something and it was just hastily done. No, it's not like that. It's prayerful. It's thoughtful. It's spirit-led. And if God does speak to you and say, and he says, don't give anything, then I would say to you, don't give anything. But if God speaks something to your heart, then when he does, it scares you just a little bit. I'd say, don't run from him, run to him. If God's calling you to step out in faith, you will never regret a yes to God. And so it says in this last part of verse 7, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can you just give the cheesiest smile to your neighbor right now? Come on, give them your best smile, your cheesiest smile. Give your other neighbor a cheesy smile. They need one. They just need a cheesy smile. God loves a cheerful giver. Somebody say, a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's all, and every. God's saying, I've got you covered. We don't give to get. Our point is not like, so I'm going to do something so that God has to do something back. It's not a matter of, I'm going to do this so that I can be blessed. And yet God's plan, his word says that when you give cheerfully, that God blesses you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I really consider verse 7 to be a breakthrough verse. That this could even be a shift in our mindset and our understanding. Just the way we view investing in the kingdom of God. Not simply financially. I'm talking about the way you serve God's house. I'm talking about the way you encourage others. Because if you sow encouragement, you'll reap encouragement. If you sow kindness, you will reap kindness. When you recognize that you are gifted by God and for God, you will not merely look at your talents and your gifts and your abilities and go, I will use these to build my name or to build my career or to build my platform, but you'll realize that you are talented, you are gifted, you are shaped and formed by God and for God. And when you take that life and you invest yourself in the kingdom of God, you will then flourish the way God intends for you to, because you've submitted it and surrendered it to his eternal work. So it is as well financially, but it's not simply limited to that. If you could have that just like click in your mind, if that could get in your spirit, it would radically change the way you live and give. Why is it that God loves a cheerful giver? Well, just quickly today, because Pastor Steve said that we needed to wrap up by about 1:15, 1:30, so I better move here pretty quickly. Not really, just kidding. But there are three things that I want to give you today on what I would say is why God loves a cheerful giver. So if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, you could just jot these things down, because I believe that God just might speak to you. Number one, why does God love a cheerful giver? Number one, God loves a cheerful giver because a cheerful giver understands that it all belongs to God. A cheerful giver gives with delight, gives with enthusiasm, because they understand that it all belongs to God. Psalm chapter 24 and verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything. Somebody say everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It all belongs to God. Whatever I have, it's not mine. I'm a steward of it. It all belongs to God. It's evidenced by the fact that when you did show up on planet Earth, you did not bring anything with you. When you exit life here on this earth, you will not take anything with you. And some people say, hold up just a minute there, preacher. I'm a self-made man. I work hard. I've been wise. I've been smart. I've been diligent. Strong work ethic. I'm the one who closed the deal. I'm the one who was smart enough. At any point when we try and look at what we're doing and think our hands have produced this, you would have to stop and ask, who gave me my hands? If you said it was my business mind, the way I was able to strategize, who gave me my mind? Well, it was because of my hard work, because of my grit, because of my determination, because I didn't give up. Who gave me my strength? Who gave me my drive? Who gave me my grit? And at some point you realize it all comes back to the hand of God blessing you, blessing me, entrusting time, talent, and treasure to us for us to steward. So whenever I give cheerfully, I'm acknowledging that I'm simply doing with God's resource what God has asked me to do. So if I were to go down to Pastor Steve right now and just give him a $20 bill, now this would be my $20 bill. Let's just all make sure the analogy is clear. It'd be my $20 bill. And I gave him my $20 bill, and I said, Steve, I'd like for you to hold on to this for me, but when it comes time for me to have a purpose or a plan for it, I'll let you know. But this is, whose $20 is it? It's mine, but I'm giving him $20. And then after a little while, time passes, and I say, you know what, actually, Steve, I'd like for you to go over here to Austin and give him that $20. How many of you know that it would be strange if Steve said to me, well, you know what, Austin is a good guy. I really appreciate him. I would like to bless him. So I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and just slip him a five, just to bless him, just to do something nice to him. Like, I'm going to go ahead and give him $5. Scotty, you're welcome. I wouldn't say, I didn't ever say thank you. Like, no, that's not even, I don't need it. You're welcome, because that's not what I asked you to do. I would be confused why when I gave you my 20 for you to steward, to manage it, and do with it what I told you to, and then you act like you're doing me a favor with partially carrying out my request and saying, you're welcome. It's like, that's not hitting me right. He's like, you know what? I just feel like I need to keep some of this. I'd say, you've misunderstood our relationship. But for a lot of us, God blesses us. And then he says, here's what I'd like for you to do in this one day offering. And we're like, Lord, I hear where you're coming from. That's important. It does seem like a legitimate ministry. It does seem like a lot of cool things are happening. So I tell you what, here's what I'll do. How many of you know that you never win when you negotiate with God? It is never a win if God says, give 100. And if you're like, I think I'll go ahead and do something so I don't feel guilty, I'll give 50. And God says, give 100. And you say, what if we meet in the middle and call it 75? You don't negotiate with God. It's not a negotiation. It's a matter of obedience. And when it's hard is when I've forgotten who it all belongs to. It's not mine. It all belongs to him. And it's easy for me to give away Steve's money. So if he gave me the 20 and said, now bless Austin with it, I'd be happy to do it. It's not even mine. I give him 100 if you want me to, because it's his. But it's harder when God has blessed us and now my hands start squeezing so tightly because I think this all belongs to me. The reason why God loves a cheerful giver is because a cheerful giver understands it all belongs to God. There's a second reason why God loves a cheerful giver. Number two, it's because a cheerful giver sees God as their provider. They can give cheerfully because they understand that God is the one who provides for them. God is the one who takes care of them. God is the one who will meet all of their needs. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Who's going to meet all of your needs? God is. Whose responsibility is it to take care of you? It's God's. Now, I don't mean if we're out being foolish and we're like racking up like thousands and thousands of dollars on credit cards and we're acting foolish and every time we go shopping or something, we take the credit card and we swipe it. Jehovah Jireh. Yes, he is. He's going to take care of me. Listen, God may be saying to you, won't you cut that thing up? Won't you just back off just a little bit? So I'm not talking about foolishness and blaming it on God. I'm talking about stewardship that says, God, this belongs to you, so I want to steward it well, but I know that as I do my part, you're so faithful to do yours. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that God is the one who provides all that we need. I don't have to look to my job. You don't have to look to your boss. I don't even have to look to myself to say if it's going to be, it's up to me. Like if I'm going to be taken care of, if my family's going to be taken care of, all of my hope is in a paycheck that is coming my way. No, that's when it's very difficult to give because I just feel like God is intruding on my process of taking care of me and my family. But when I reshape that and I realize that God is my source, and he will give me all that I need to do all that he's called me to do. Now I can give cheerfully. I can give enthusiastically. I can give with excitement and with anticipation because I know that I'm partnering with him. And as I do, God is going to continue to take care of me. Just like he did when we stepped out and we gave $50,000 in the 1 year, he met all of our needs. He just allowed me to be a part of a pretty supernatural experience. One day when I was speaking on missions to a group of students, there was a young lady who came up after the sermon, and she was like, "Pastor Scotty, that message stirred my heart. I'd like to give and be a part of this missions effort." And she said, "I've been saving money to go to college." And she said, "And I feel like, as you were preaching today, I feel like I'm supposed to empty out my savings account. And instead of giving it for college, saving it for college, I'm supposed to give to this missions project." And you're probably thinking, "Oh, that had to be such a proud moment for you as a preacher." No, I was scared out of my mind. I was like, "Oh, dear Jesus, what's her daddy's going to kill me?" That's what I was thinking. I was like, "Man, do not." And so I was like, "Well, you know, I don't know. Sometimes we get excited, you know, when we're in services, and we get a little too fired up, you know. And so you've been saving that for college." And she said, "I really feel like the Lord wants me to do it." And I said, "Well, here's what you need to do. Go and talk to your mom and dad before you do something like that. And if your mom and dad say, 'No, this is for college,' you need to know that God is going to honor you for doing that and for working hard and saving it. And you're not disobeying the Lord. You're submitting to the authority and leadership of your parents. If your mom and dad have their hearts touched by God and want you to do it, then you can know that this is God's plan for you." And so I thought, thank you, Lord, for that little bit of wisdom right there. Kind of got me off the hook. I just didn't need to be carrying that burden. So anyway, she goes and she talks with her parents, and I couldn't believe it. Her parents said they felt like the Lord was in it, and they blessed that, and they said, "We will trust God. You can do it." And so she literally emptied out her account to the penny, wiped out what she had been saving for college, and she gave it to missions. Then she went and she played in her softball tournament. Her team won the tournament. She was selected as the most valuable player of the tournament. And what do you think the prize was for the most valuable player? It was a college scholarship worth more than the amount that she had saved up because God honored her faith and provided. Come on, can you thank God today for his faithfulness? You can never outgive God. Now, what's really cool about that story is how you can say all day long, I believe God is faithful. But then when God calls you to that point of getting out of the boat and walking on water, will you take out that checkbook and say, God, I'll say yes? Because when you do, you've just positioned yourself for the miracle. Well, because I really believe this in my heart, and because I preach on this and we see God do so many cool things, my family, my children, they've been raised like just with this kind of a mindset. It's just how they think. So they set faith goals. They give to missions and things like, because it's all they've ever known. It's what they've been raised in. But I can just tell you that it's easier for me to preach it than to parent it. So when my daughter Bria came to me when she was 10 years old, and she said, Dad, for my 11th birthday, I want to raise $1,100 in 11 days for missions. I was like, oh, dear Jesus, that'll never happen. Like, how do I break it to her? Like, what do I say? Like, how do I back her up from that just a little bit and go, what if you give $11 in 11 days? or what if you give $111 in 11 weeks? Like, I was just trying to think, like, how do I spin this in a way to where she doesn't think that her preacher daddy has a lack of faith, but at the same time, I don't set her up to fail. I mean, I'm thinking as a dad in this moment. I'm parenting. I'm like, what if it doesn't work? And she's like, God failed me. It doesn't work. I'll never serve him. I'm like, I can't have her going to hell. So what do I do? You know, I've got to think this through. And so I'm like, well, I don't know. And so finally, I just thought, you know what? I've got to let her take a swing at it. I might have to clean it up on the back end, you know, be like, okay, the reason it didn't happen, but here's what God did do. So I'm thinking, I'll figure all that out. I'm just going to let her try. So she's trying to raise $1,100 in 11 days for missions for her 11th birthday. And, man, those first few days, I mean, she was just sky high. She was just, oh, my word, look at she, oh, Dad, I got $22, two people, $22, oh, Bria, that is incredible. She's like, Dad, I'm up to like $70, oh, that is incredible. That is so awesome. She's hitting up neighbors. She's hitting up grandparents. She's walking up to people at Walmart. I mean, she's just raising money for missions. And so she's like, I'm up to, you know, $280. Like, woo, that is a lot of money. And I'm thinking, it's a long ways away from $1,100 is what it is. Got down towards the end, and she was still about $300 short, and just a few days left. And now we're at the point to where, like, even if she just, like, called to say hello to her grandparents, they're not even answering the call anymore. They're just like, nah, we're not. Decline. Yeah, we're not. And it's just dried up. Like, no more money coming in. And so I was speaking at Evangel University, and my family was there with me. And I don't remember the message, but it obviously had something to do with obedience or trusting God. And after the chapel service was over, we were in the cafeteria, and this college student, this young lady, walked up to me, and she said, introduced herself and started telling her story. And she said, I worked all summer long and had been saving up money, she said, and I didn't know what to do with that money because I felt like God wanted me to give it to ministry, she said, but I didn't know what ministry or how I would do it. She said, so I've just been saving it. It's been in my dorm room. And she said, But then as you were speaking today, I felt like God said, now's the moment, and give it to the ministry. And she said, so I wanted you to know, I came in and I got my money. And she had this, like, brown bag. She's like, and I've got the money right here. Well, you know what's going through my mind is, like, how stinking shady does this look right here in the cafeteria? I'm just kind of looking around like college girl walks up to the clergy, you know, hands him the bag of money, walks. I'm like, no, I don't think we're going to do that. And so I was like, hey, that is really cool. I said, you know what? Thank you for being willing to, but I want you to bless another ministry with that. And she's like, well, I really feel like I'm supposed to give it to you. I'm like, yeah. And I'm just trying to be kind and be polite, but I'm like, there's not a chance I'm taking this girl's money. I'm like, that's just not going to happen. And so I'm like, yeah, well, you know, kind of like Abraham and Isaac, you know, like gave it, but then God gave it back to it. You know, like, so you tried, and I'm saying no. You know, I'm like, giving it back. She's like, no, I really feel like, and it's there in the moment, it clicked with me. I was like, I wonder if this is a part of Bria's story. And so I said, you know what? If you would be open to it, that's my family right over there. That's my daughter, Bria, right there. I said, why don't you go and ask her to tell you her faith story of what she's doing? And then if God speaks to your heart to do anything with that, then you can be a part of it. I said, can we kind of agree on that one? Would that one be okay? And she's like, deal. So she goes over, and she starts talking to Bria. And I'm kind of watching over there, and Bria's just, she's just casting vision. I could just see her telling the story. $1,100, 11 days, 11 years old. You know, I could just see her. She's just going for it. And so the girl says to her, how much are you needing? And Bria's like, I'm $328 short. And so the girl says, well, I want to bless you. I feel like I've been saving up this money, and God wants me to give it. So Bria's like, oh, that's so cool. And so they decide right there, they'll just count to see how close it gets her to her goal of $1,100, 328 short. So by that time, I'm over there, and, you know, we're just kind of, I'm proud of my daughter. I'm like, I'm so proud of you. Look how God's blessed you. So they're counting it out, and so they get to like $200, $250. I'm like, man, this college girl loaded over here. $275 and $300 and then $320, then $325, $326, $327, $328. And then the last dollar was $329, just as if God was kind of showing off to be like, and one to grow on. I mean, it was just so crazy that there in that moment, I mean, revival broke out in Evangel University cafeteria. They're like, oh, he's so faithful. You know, and I'm looking at Bree going, see, Daddy told you, God's faithful. He's always going to do it. Just like I always knew he would. You stepped out in faith. You reap what you sow. But what's really cool about that is not just that my daughter raised $1,100. It's that now if I ever say to her, or if she ever hears her daddy preach that says, God is your provider, when you say yes to him, he'll take care of you. She's not just with this, just like playing games or surface Christianity going, amen, that's true. She's going, oh, let me tell you a story because I lived it. And I just think that God looks at his people sometimes who give grudgingly. Just, okay, here's a dollar. Okay, here's 10. Fine, here's 20. Like, I know I'm not the only one who ever thought about making change in the offering. Now, don't look at me and judge me like that. You go to give, you're like, oh, stink, all I have is a 50. You got two 20s and a 10 in there. Don't act like I'm the only one who's ever thought like that. But it's like, oh, this is so hard. And God's, I love it when you're a cheerful giver. Because you understand it's not even yours anyway. And you understand that I will always, somebody say always, I will always provide for you. Let me give you the third and the final piece, and then I'll close with a video in just a moment that'll wrap up just our thought and our project. Number three, God loves a cheerful giver because a cheerful giver lives for eternity. In other words, a person who is enthusiastic about giving, a person who is excited to give, is a person who's been able to pull their eyes away from all of the attractions and all of the pressures and the demands and all of the materialism of today, and they've been able to lift their eyes to eternity for what matters. You understand that life on this earth is really, really short, and eternity is really, 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 really long. And when you use the resource of this world to make a difference for something that's going to last forever, now all of a sudden, instead of it being such a painful experience, it is a joy-filled, cheerful experience because you recognize I'm sending this where it will last forever rather than spending it where it will go up in smoke. You ever heard Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5? It says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. You ever watched a paycheck do that before? Because I have. It just seems like as fast as you get it, it's gone. Here it is, oh, it's gone. It's just like, man, here in this world, here on this earth, it is so challenging to see the sustained or the growing and the building of resources. It just feels like it's one thing after another. If it's not a flat tire, if it's not the refrigerator going down, if it's not gas prices, whatever it is. But a cheerful giver is one who realizes, I'm not trying to store up treasures on earth. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Life is short. Eternity is long. This is resource that God has entrusted to me to steward. It's His. He's going to take care of me, but how I invest this earthly resource can actually affect what happens forever in all of eternity in heaven. Now, I want to just say this, acknowledge this before I wrap up. I get it that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this would just be the most ridiculous talk you could ever hear in your life today. I get that. And frankly, if you're here and you're just checking out the claims of Christ, you've yet to surrender your heart to the Lord, I'm thrilled that you're here, and I want you to know you don't need to give a penny today. I'm just glad that you would come and say, man, let me check out this Christianity thing. Or a friend brought me to church. You're like, get here, and they're talking on money. Listen, God doesn't need your money. But I want you to know more than anything, He has not something He's wanting from you, but for you. He wants to give you a life. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you peace. That's what it's all about. But this, admittedly, is a message directed toward those who have experienced real life in Jesus Christ. Because if you have said, God, I surrender all to you. Lord, I can't wait to spend forever in heaven with you. It would only make sense that I would spend my remaining days here on earth getting ready for the real show. Not getting so caught up in this stuff, thinking this is what it's all about, to where when God speaks to my heart and says, I want you to do something that's going to make a difference for eternity, and we're like, can we negotiate? Can I? What if I just do this instead? Lord, I would, but times are tough, as if God's going, you're right. I couldn't help you. I couldn't make it happen. I can't bless you. I can't come. You're right. You better just keep as if. God's word is not true. As a follower of Christ, all I know is my yes leads to blessing. We play board games at our house from time to time. And one of the family games would be Monopoly. Whenever I play, I prefer to win. Anybody else? You're just a little competitive? Come raise your hand if you're competitive. You know they're competitive because they just raced right there. They're like, I think I got that right there. All right, you're really competitive. And so we're playing, and I'm just giving you a hypothetical scenario, hypothetically speaking. Let's say that my wife lands on Boardwalk and I happen to own it. Hello. All right. Well, looks here like, looks like I own that right there. So it looks like you owe me whatever, let's say $500. And she says, I don't have $500. You know I don't have $500. Just roll. It's your turn. No. No, that's not the way it works. I landed on that. I don't have the money. It's family game night. Just go. Kids, give it up for mommy. Mommy's done for the night. She just lost. Let's all give her a round of applause for trying. Hey, it didn't work out this day. Maybe next time around, mommy's out of the game. A little while later, fold up the game, put away the paper money, go in the kitchen. Hey, babe, what's for dinner? She's like, why don't you go to the boardwalk and get some dinner? You just thought so much of it. You realize you made a momentary decision, and now you got to live with it. And what's crazy is during the game, I was playing with my son just a few days ago, and he landed on the free parking jackpot, and he got in. $500. I mean, it's just like, this is crazy, because in the game, that money matters. But if I walked up to you right now with a stack of them, $500 bills, Monopoly money, and just said, no, you're welcome. You're welcome. You'd look at me like, security? You wouldn't be going, wow, thanks, because you realize game over. It's like worthless. And what we possess today, I'm telling you, soon and very soon, it means nothing. We might be wise if we think about how can I use this to where when the game is over, board is folded and put away, I've made a difference for something that's going to last for eternity. And that's what this one-day project with Convoy is all about. The thought is simply this. What if you take one day of your wages for this year and you make a sacrifice of one day that's going to change somebody else's forever? What if I gave up one day that could affect somebody's every day on their ability to have food, or to have clothing, or to get clean water? That's what Convoy of Hope is all about. I'll give up a day so I could change somebody's every day. And ultimately knowing that Convoy is using meeting these physical needs so they can introduce people to Jesus Christ, my one day changes their forever. So that's the simple opportunity.
We've come to the conclusion of our time together. Thank you, Scotty, for being here with us and for delivering a challenging message, but a very applicable message. As a church, we've been on a convoy trip to Haiti. We've done distributions in our own community for the last two summers, and now we're partnering with them through the quarterly distributions. So we see the practicality of this ministry. We've felt it. We've seen where they serve food in Haiti when we were able to go into that nation. And then we've seen it working in our own community and opportunities that we have. And so, you know, over the last several weeks, we've talked about this Sunday, and maybe you came this morning and you were like, I don't fully get it. I'm not sure what they're asking of me. Or maybe you thought some of the things that Scotty had shared on. It's just, man, I'm in a season right now. You know me as your pastor. There is never a guilt plea. There is never a, hey, you have to do this plea. But I'm asking you this morning, just simply ask God, what's my role? What's my role today? And then respond. That's all you can do. Robin and I knew this day was coming. We had a brief conversation early this morning, and we were like, well, we have our normal tithe, and we want to be faithful to that. And I was like, but we got one day today. We want to be faithful to that, and so let's do this. But sitting today, going, hey Steve, you need to do a little bit more. And step out a little bit more. So as Robin and I will talk about that. Robin, we're emptying all our accounts today. I'm just kidding. We'll have those conversations. But maybe you came today and you're like, I'm not sure, or I need to just do some things adding up. And so you can give online. You can bring the envelope back next week. All of the entirety of this one day offering goes to Convoy. We don't cut a chunk off of it or anything like that. It all goes to this initiative that is feeding kids around the globe, that is helping communities that have been devastated by natural disasters, on and on and on it goes. And so it's a worthwhile cause. And I'm just going to ask you in just a moment of just a holy moment up on the screen. There's a breakdown of like what your one day offering would be, just a rough estimate if you want to go that route. If you're like, man, I don't know if I can do that, but I can do something. Then just respond to what the Lord would ask you to give, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me, Father, in this moment of reflection, but also in this moment of asking. God, you are the God of today. You are the Lord of the harvest. You are our provider. The number of months isn't our measurement for what you would ask us to do. The number of days in a month aren't our determination on how we should respond. God, faith and obedience, may that be our declaration. God, Robin and I, over time and time again, just as Scotty testified shared his own testimony, when we've stepped in faith, we've seen you provide. And it's grown our faith, and it's challenged us, and spurred us on to challenge and to model that before other people. God, people matter. Souls matter. Souls live for eternity. And we want to take as many people with us as we can. And we want to help be a part of helping spread the gospel seed, if you will, all over the globe, so that someday when we're in heaven and we're sitting around the table of the Lord, we might be sitting next to somebody that is from a far distant land. And conversation will come up, Lord. Hey, how'd you get here? Well, Convoy of Hope or a missions team, whatever. God, we just want to be doers of you. So God, in this holy moment, as we ponder what you would ask us to do, God, speak to us. And may we just respond obediently to that, I pray. In Jesus' name, let's just take a moment. I'm going to ask you, if you brought a checkbook, or if you need to give online, you can, up on the screen is our website, and it will walk you through that process. But if you give a check this morning, your normal tithes, it goes to LifePoint. But everything else this morning, we want to just give it to One Day. And so make sure you mark and you designate it appropriately with the envelope. And if you want to give your tithe, you can use the envelope in the back of the chair in front of you. But just respond. And let's just capture this moment.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.